The lead story today for sure is Dave Chappelle's new special, but I'll do that at the end of the podcast because I don't want to spoil it if you haven't had a chance to see it yet. Let's start with late night Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you from a room full of warriors, heroes, survivors. Forget World War II. This is the greatest generation because every single person in this room had to dig down deep within themselves and find the strength to make it through Facebook's 6-hour worldwide outage. Seth, Facebook went offline for over 6 hours. Wow, they finally found something that they couldn't fix with horse paste. Fallon, everyone's parents came this close to joining TikTok. Fallon, besides Zuckerberg, it was also a rough time for conspiracy theorists because for conspiracy theorists, Facebook is basically their WebMD, Fallon. In a statement, Facebook said the cause of the problem was, quote, configuration changes on the backbone routers. Then they continued, which continued the frontbone flex box to dislodge the Tungle switch and Toxel the Pixel dock flop cord, which then joined the Comshanks Codadox pop knob, causing a triple Spanx zip dunk. Can't believe I got through that on the first take. Kimmel, Facebook said that no user data was compromised during the blackout. It was not a hack. All your information is safe with them. Your age, your height, weight, eye color, blood type, birth date, hopes, dreams, your kidneys, all totally secure in the Facebook vaults. Kimmel, the blackout was followed by a devastating congressional panel investigation. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate finally found something they can agree on. They both hate Facebook. Fallon, that's right. A Facebook whistleblower testified for more than 3 hours in front of Congress and said some pretty damaging things. The whistleblower said Facebook has repeatedly misled the public, and that's not okay. We already have an app for misleading the public. It's called Tinder. From the AV Club, Sarah Silverman is talking about Jewface, a term I had not heard previously. Let me read this article to you. Late last month, Showtime announced that Katherine Hahn would be playing Joan Rivers in a limited series about Joan Rivers. Sarah Silverman is arguing that it's the continuation of a concerning trend, which she refers to as Jewface. In a recent episode of her own podcast, Sarah Silverman said that she has no problem with the specific casting of Katherine Hahn, but there have been a lot of situations in the last few years where non-Jewish people played characters who don't just happen to be Jewish, but whose Jewishness is their whole being. Sarah's examples include Felicity Jones as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Rachel Brosnahan as Midge Maisel, and now Katherine Hahn playing Joan Rivers. Sarah Silverman says these Jew-face roles typically involve putting a person's Jewishness front and center with makeup or changing features like a, quote, big fake nose, unquote, and all the New York-y or Yiddish-y inflection. She also argues that if a Jewish woman character is courageous and deserves love, then she's never actually played by a Jewish person. I don't know what to say about this. I knew Joan Rivers personally. I've been in Joan Rivers' home. Joan Rivers served me iced tea. I don't know. I think Katherine Hahn will do a great job. I don't know. I'm not Jewish. I don't know. I knew Joan. I didn't sit there thinking, here's my Jewish friend Joan. I thought, here's legendary comedian Joan. Some days I thought, here's that pain in the ass that didn't call me back and is now mad that she doesn't like the guests I booked. I had that relationship with her. I don't know. A Huffington Post story on Sarah Silverman's podcast points out that Sarah Silverman does acknowledge that Sarah Silverman wore blackface in an episode of her old Comedy Central show, The Sarah Silverman Program. Sarah explained in 2019 that she was dealing with racism by using racism, which she now sees as such liberal bubble stuff, adding that she's now horrified by the sketch and is no longer willing to stand by it. I don't know. From the New York Post, Chris Rock is back telling jokes after testing positive for COVID-19 last month. Chris Rock was at the opening night of musician Robert Glasper's Robtober residency at the Blue Note Jazz Club. Chris said, I'm back from the dead. I had COVID. I had mother effing COVID. Chris Rock and comedian pal Dave Chappelle, we're going to talk about him, surprised Glasper and concert goers when they showed up unannounced and introduced Glasper. Chris Rock joked, it wasn't quite as hard as being black, but it was close. That's why everyone trying to avoid it, man. He then revealed, I think I got this on the civil rights movie. Chappelle said, that's a noble way to get COVID. The New York Post insider said everyone was cracking up watching them. After the concert, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle met up with Michael Che, Busta Rhymes, and Kanye. They all met up at the Stand Comedy Club. A spy told the New York Post, Kanye came alone, no security. All right, I got some other stuff, but it can wait for tomorrow because the Chappelle stuff is going to go long. If you're a new listener, I normally do the headline up at the top, but again, I don't want to spoil Dave Chappelle special if you haven't seen it yet. If you have not seen it yet and you don't want to be spoiled, you are dismissed. See you back here tomorrow. Follow the show on Apple, Spotify, Google. You know the drill. If you want to hear my review of Dave Chappelle and some other folks' review of Dave Chappelle's new special, back after the break. Real quick, I meant to do this before the break. The Rogue Island Comedy Festival kicks off tonight. Eddie Pepitone at 6 and 8. Eddie Pepitone claims Bob's Burgers among his credits. I'm too busy today to get into that conspiracy. The festival wraps all the way to Monday. Mark Norman with two shows on Monday, 6 and 9. Mark, is he an up-and-comer? He's an up-and-comer. You should keep an eye on Mark Norman. 6 and 9. 6 is a little early. No? All right, let's talk a little Dave Chappelle. First, Dave Chappelle made the news from the Washington Post hours before Dave Chappelle's new special dropped on Tuesday. Chappelle was in his hometown, Washington, D.C., urging deep-pocketed Washingtonians to donate to Dave's beloved alma mater, the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. Dave said in a speech, "I'm happy that you're interested in the special. I'm happier that you're interested in Ellington." Washington Post says Ellington is one of the few area art schools that educates a student body composed primarily of people of color, and they announced their plans during a screening of Chappelle's special to rename the school's theater after Chappelle. The Dave Chappelle Theater dedication will take place on November 23rd. Chappelle said having the theater named after him was the most significant honor of my life. I've been honored many ways, many times. This means the most. Among the ways he's been honored, multiple Grammys, Emmys, and the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Dave said, "I used to skip school. I would hide in there when I was skipping class. Who would have thought that the theater would one day be named after me? But I understand it because sometimes when you love things, they love you back, and I loved that school." Chappelle said, "The Ellington School saved my life." He then pledged $100,000 himself, but then said, "That doesn't mean I'm going to do it." Dave talked about his special, The Closer, which at the time of the Washington Post article had been streaming for less than 24 hours and had already garnered buzz from the comedian's defense of embattled rapper DaBaby and Dave's own longstanding issue with so-called political correctness. Chappelle says in the special he's done making jokes about the LGBTQ community and in fact never had a problem with them, but with white people in general, and he won't say if he's really done with Netflix. He was asked, "Is this your final project with Netflix?" Chappelle said, "Hopefully not, but for now, definitely." When asked how he'd define the arc and evolution of his 6-special Netflix run, Dave said, "That's the kind of question I'm reluctant to answer because it might impede people's interpretation of my art. And the fun part about putting something out there is seeing how they interpret it. I know what it means to me. That's for me to know and for them to speculate about, and that's why it's art." All right, I watched Chappelle's special on Tuesday evening. Before we get to the meat of it, I think Dave Chappelle was trolling me at the beginning. So the special opens up with a young man flipping through an album bin of vinyl copies of Dave Chappelle comedy albums. Longtime listeners know, I just want to catch everybody up. So in the Grammys, every year, there are a bunch of submissions for Best Comedy Album, and it'll be things like Dave Chappelle 846. And that's all fine and well, except I don't think these are truly comedy albums. I think these are Netflix specials that are released on limited edition vinyl to make them technically qualify, but I know a comedy album when I see it. And if you take a special and you release it on vinyl and you only make, say, 846 copies and you sell it in one or two record stores, that's not a wide-release comedy album. That's gaming the system to make yourself Grammy eligible. It doesn't mean your work is bad. It just means to me, that's not an album. Like, if I took the soundtrack to the Seinfeld sitcom, and I took the episode The Contest, and I ripped it to vinyl, and I sold it at Comic-Con, at a booth. Yes, here it is. Here's an album. Seinfeld, The Contest. Here it is available on vinyl. I'm going to sell 100 copies and submit it for Grammy. It might even win. Would you feel like that was the best comedy album? That's how I feel about some of these things. Anyway, at the beginning of Chappelle's special, the young man is flipping through all these vinyl things, and I'm like, is he trolling me? I shared this on the Facebook group if you want to check that out. So diving into the special, I thought Dave had some good coronavirus material up top. It was timely. It was fun. But I kind of noticed I was doing what I have described as the Emperor of Rome syndrome. I've mentioned in the past, I ran SiriusXM Comedy for 10 years, which meant Monday to Friday, I was sitting at my desk at least 8 to 5, plus listening on the way home in the car. I listened to comedy 10, 12, 14 hours a day, plus the weekends, for years. So I've heard it all. And what happens over time is you stop laughing. You become like a psycho. And you do, if you go to a comedy show, you'll see the comedians do this in the back of the room. They'll be saying, somebody will be on stage killing, and the comics will be like, ah, great callback. Oh, that was such a good bit. Great writing there. Or the famous, oh, that's hilarious. And I do that too. I'll say something is hilarious, but I don't actually laugh. I'm just, my brain is just beat down by hearing the best of the best for a decade. And I noticed I wasn't laughing at Chappelle's special. I was entertained the entire hour and 10 minutes, I think it is. I was definitely entertained, definitely hanging on every word. But did I laugh? No. That might just be me doing the Emperor of Rome syndrome. I'm not sure. But I know I laughed at previous specials. I also wrote down that I felt like Dave was doing more shock than having something to say. And I felt that way for three quarters of the special. At the end, I felt like he had something to say, and we'll get to that. But I just felt like he was doing shock lines to get a cheap laugh, and I feel like he's got better game than that. He did do a segment about rapper DaBaby, and it reminded me of the writing style of Paul Mooney. If you haven't watched it yet, or if you rewatch it, watch that section. It's very Mooney-esque. I thought that was interesting. Then in the next section, he was doing some voice acting, and it reminded me briefly of Pryor. And I was like, is this an homage to Mooney and then Pryor? And maybe he'll do some Chris Rock later. That did not come to fruition, so I was overthinking that. But it definitely reminded me of Mooney in the DaBaby segment. I noticed that Dave was not smoking on stage, something that's been very prevalent in recent specials. That's neither here nor there. I just noticed it. I noticed I was playing on my phone a lot. That's not good. He tells a long story for his closer. We're going to get into that in a second. The story is true. I looked it up, so I found that interesting. And I wrote down at the end of the night, I feel bad I didn't like it more. I liked it, but like, I feel like I should be on here going, oh man, Dave Chappelle's special is so great. You gotta watch it. And that's not how I came away from it. USA Today writes, Dave Chappelle is sparking conversation about transphobia as he addresses his past comments about the trans community in his latest Netflix special. Chappelle doubled down on transphobic jokes by weighing in on comments by J.K. Rowling made in December of 2019. Chappelle said, they canceled J.K. Rowling. My God. Especially, she said gender was a fact. The trans community got as mad as bleep, and they started calling her a TERF. Per USA Today, TERF is an acronym that stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. The term describes feminists who are transphobic. In the special, Chappelle said, they look at trans women the way we blacks look at blackface. Sarah McBride is the National Press Secretary for the Human Rights Campaign. Sarah said, TERF views deny the validity of transgender people and transgender identities. McBride noted that such views are not rejected only among most feminists in the U.S. and supporters of LGBTQ rights. TERF ideology can result in reinforcing prejudices that can lead to other forms of discrimination many transgender men and women can experience, such as in housing or employment. Chappelle said, I'm very interested in the gender construct personally. Because I'm a man with kids, that does not mean that I feel like another point of view can't exist. One Twitter user wrote, Dave Chappelle claiming he's a TERF sort of soiled my day. Another, oh, the T community is going to be mad once they see this Dave Chappelle stand-up, LOL. Another, the closer might be the best work I've seen by Dave Chappelle. Amazing, eloquent, and as always, goes right for the jug. Another, Dave Chappelle is the greatest at using non-sequiturs to subtly project his bigotry. Chappelle's come under scrutiny before for his commentary about the trans community. In 2019's Sticks and Stones, he talked about how society is increasingly politically correct while saying sarcastically how difficult it must be for transgender people. Chappelle said, they're so confusing, the idea that a person can be born in the wrong body. They have to admit, that's a bleeping hilarious predicament. At the end of the closer special, Dave said he would no longer be making jokes about the LGBTQ community, with a stipulation relating to DaBaby being canceled for his homophobic comments and Kevin Hart stepping down from the Oscars after refusing to apologize for previous homophobic comments. Dave said, I'm not telling another joke about you until we're both sure that we're laughing together. All I ask from your community, with all humility, will you please stop punching down on my people? A lot more about Dave Chappelle's special. Gotta take another break. From NPR, the headline, Dave Chappelle does not make it easy. Dave is one of the most brilliant stand-up comics in the business, but he also makes a sport of challenging his audience, putting ideas in front of them he knows are uncomfortable and unpalatable to those invested in modern notions of how to talk about feminism, gender, sexual orientation, and race. Sometimes he does it to make a larger point, but at times, especially during his latest special for Netflix, The Closer, he also seems to have a daredevil's relish for going to dangerous places on stage and eventually winning his audience over, regardless of what he's actually saying. I'm going to read directly from NPR here. They will quote Dave Chappelle in this segment. This is the segment of the special about rapper DaBaby. DaBaby, who was pillared publicly for making homophobic comments during a concert in July, Chappelle jokes DaBaby, quote, punch the LGBTQ community right in the AIDS, unquote, before recalling a 2018 incident where the rapper was involved in a fight inside a North Carolina Walmart where another person was shot and killed. Chappelle said in the special, in our country, you can shoot and kill a N-word, but you better not hurt a gay person's feelings. NPR writes, what Chappelle doesn't say is that DaBaby claims he was defending himself against two men who tried to rob him and his family in the store. Eventually, he was found guilty of a misdemeanor charge carrying a concealed weapon, though the family of the 19-year-old who dies insists that DaBaby started the fight. In the closer, Chappelle eventually says he's jealous of the progress the gay rights movement has made in America. Quotes, if slaves had oil and booty shorts on, it might have been free 100 years sooner, NPR writes. But lines like that assume the struggle over oppression is a zero-sum game. That's because some gay people have access to white privilege in America, that all their concerns about stereotyping and marginalization are hollow and subordinate to what black people face. Skipping ahead, NPR writes, there's more to the story outside Dave's simplistic framing, which seems designed to excuse some pretty hurtful words. In the special, Dave Chappelle says, gay people are minorities until they need to be white again. Chappelle recalls how he was once asked why it was easier for Caitlyn Jenner to transition in public than for Cassius Clay to change his name to Muhammad Ali. Ignoring the obvious answer, writes NPR, Ali adopted his name 50 years earlier. Thankfully, the times eventually change. The fact is, these are all complicated topics, tough to encapsulate in a single punchline or anecdote, and watching Chappelle talk about them is like watching somebody use a chainsaw as a letter opener. Again, towards the end of the closer, Chappelle says, I'm done talking about it. All I ask of your community, with all humility, will you please stop punching down on me? NPR closes with, if I was gay and heard a line like that from a wealthy Emmy-winning comic at the end of a special that millions of his fans will likely watch and co-sign, I'd probably have a simpler response, you first. Plenty more about this. Podcast getting a little long here. I will talk more Chappelle tomorrow. Would love to know your thoughts about the special. If you want to jump on either Instagram at Daily Comedy News, tag one of the Chappelle posts I did, or the Facebook group. This is exactly what the Facebook group is for. Facebook.com/groups/DCNpod. Facebook groups/DCNpod. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. More about this tomorrow. I think we're going to hear a lot about this in the next couple days.